I'll have you stand, if you will. Let me have you turn over to Proverbs 14 for tonight. Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14. I only have one verse for you here. It says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. Let's bow our heads and pray. Brother Evans, would you pray for me, please, brother? Okay, a corn crib is where you put corn. And a baby crib is where you put the baby. And an ox crib is where you put the ox. And I don't know if you've been around it much, but the ox crib is a mess if it has an ox in it. There are reasons for that. There are biological reasons for that. There's all this grain and hay and graze that goes into the front end of a 14 to 2200 pound ox, and then there's exhaust that comes out the backside. Now listen, I know what happened this week, and I've been doctored to death, and I appreciate it. And y'all can keep on if you want to, but I was a farm boy. And I was raised on a dairy farm, a farm and ranch. We planted everything from peanuts to grain, sorghum and soybeans. And we milked 115 or 20 cows a day, twice a day, and ran beef cattle on top. So if there's something I'm familiar with, it's manure. I'm just saying, it's you know, the doctorate's all nice, but it's really about manure. And it says there that that ox crib is a mess. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but there's much increase by the strength of the ox. It doesn't take very long for an ox, and in this case, I'll use this more along the lines of a dairy barn, because that's what I'm used to. I'm not old enough to have plowed behind an ox yet, so that was my father and my grandfather's generation. We were more into the beef cattle. And then, like I said, we milked 120 cows twice a day. So when you put a 1,400-pound Holstein cow onto a waiting lot, waiting to be milked, and she stands out there for 2 hours, and she's been grazing all day, then there are things that happen. And I'm thankful I didn't get raised on a pig farm, because cow manure is a good deal less pungent. It is, nevertheless, offal, to put it nicely. Dung is another word for it, and that's where we'll stop. I was hoping Brother Evans would pray that I could watch my mouth tonight, so y'all just pray. Y'all pray for me that I don't, yeah, you know, whatever. Because I hope I'm not making any of you city folks uncomfortable, but this is about manure. Now, it says there that where no oxen are, the crib is clean. If you don't have a ox in the crib, then you can turn the crib into a museum. You can turn the crib into an x-ray suite if you want to. You can turn the crib into the baby's bedroom. But not while there's an active ox living there. Because there's much increase by the strength of the ox. You see, to get rid of the mess, you have to get rid of the ox. And if you get rid of the ox, what are you going to pull stumps with? What are you going to plow with? Get the grain out of the field. What's going to run the threshing floor? And what's going to run the grist mill? And that's a thing. So here's a skinny on it. You're going to have a mess either way. You're going to either have the mess by the ox, or you're going to get rid of your ox. And you're still going to have a mess. It's going to be a much bigger mess. So the real key here is having the right ox. So what are you talking about? Well, like I said, I grew up on a dairy farm, and it wasn't that often that we had to get up. Dad took agreed with the hands, the milk hand, that he would milk once every 2 weeks. So the guy got a complete day off. But I used to hate to get up at that 3 o'clock hour and go out and get those cows up and milk those cows. But you take those cows in there on that back lot, and like I said, they've been grazing all night or all day because you milk them twice a day. You got to milk them twice a day. You're married to the dairy farm. You can never go away as long as those cows are given milk because they have to be milked twice a day or you'll ruin them. It's kind of like a sheep getting skinned. If you don't milk that cow twice, she's going to get ruined. And like I said, we allowed the barn to still stay a mess back on the back lot overnight. But by the next day after you've milked for the morning, you now have piles on top of piles. And you got to clean it up. And so we had this instrument. It was called a shovel. Now look, I'm not talking about a 5 foot tall shovel that might have a pointy end to dig with or a flat nose shovel to scoop with. I'm talking about a shovel that's about this tall and the scoop on it stands about this tall. The scoop is about this wide and about this deep and it's about, wide and long, and then it's about 5 or 6 inches deep. And so by the time you scoop up manure, there's quite a bit of weight in that shovel. And if you think 120 cows twice a day can't make a mess, standing around on a concrete slab, you're just not, you didn't spend much time around cows. We had a gutter system that we would move the manure off to the sides and off into the gutters. And those gutters ran out behind the barn into kind of a ravine type thing. And they'd stay out there in the Texas sun and dry and kind of gradually kind of go away and stuff. But so what are you getting at here, Brother Stevens? Well, I'm trying to get you to see that while we're using dairy cows instead of the ox always makes a mess. But you have to have the mess to get the milk. And if you're going to complain about the manure that you have to clean up all the time. We had a truck that came by 3 times a week. We had a 1,000-gallon refrigerated tank in the front of that milking room. And that tank, after 3 days, would be chock full just about. So every 2 days, a refrigerated milk truck would come through there and take that milk away. And if you didn't deal with the manure, you didn't get the milk. See what I'm saying? So, well, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying you have a mess either way. You either have a bunch of manure to deal with every day. You have to handle it every day. Or else you get rid of the cows and then your kids are starving. So you're going to have to deal with it one way. You're going to have a mess one way or another. The question is the mess worth having? You have to realize that there's a mess that's worth having and a mess that's not worth having. Now, I have a new visual for you to think about life. I mean, I'm going to go deep here. Here's a philosophical thing. From now on, you can look at life like this. You know, everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time and so on. You've heard stuff like that. I would impart to you that from now on, you consider that folks are walking around with a big scoop shovel full of manure. And there's two kinds of manure represented. Manure that's from an ox that's not worth having, or manure that's from an ox that's worth having. The title of this message is, You Need a Good Ox. And I'd like to convince you of that for a little while. It'll flow here in a little bit with regard to the local church. I'd like you to think about what you heard this week. Brother Rudolph comes to mind. Brother Rudolph comes to mind because he has the unusual testimony of having read his Bible through 30 times before he became convicted and finally went to jail. But he told you a little about that cycle, that dysfunctional family culture cycle that he was in, where he really actually wanted to be arrested and was really actually happy when they put him in the cop car, because he was in this cycle of failure. He was carrying around a humongous shovel full of manure from an ox that wasn't worth having. There's two kinds of people in this world. I'm going to present to you that everybody in this world walks around with a 30-pound shovel full of 30 pounds of manure. And it's either manure of an ox worth having or of an ox not worth having. Lost people. Their lives are filled with trouble. And none of it's profitable. Still just die and go to hell like maggots. Now me and you, it's a different skinny. Because we've been delivered a good ox. If you'll recognize it for what it is. You can be assured of this. You're in the main not going to have more trouble than your brethren in the world. They get cancer too. They get hemorrhoids too. They go bankrupt too. They get smashed up in car accidents and wind up in wheelchairs too. But for a Christian, it's different. Because, yeah, the rest of your life, you got to carry this manure. And I mean, it's heavy. Look, you know, this doing this twice, once a day, and it's heavy. You move it over to the gutters and it's repeated over and over. It's faintly satisfying the first three times, but it gets old after 1,050, I'll tell you that right now. I was born and reared with my feet in manure. Rubber boots, barefoot, didn't matter. You had to wade the manure one way or another. Now, let me give you some good oxes. And then we'll move to the local church. Jesus Christ is a good ox. Don't mean that derogatory. I hope you understand that. But he said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. The servant's not better than his master. Right? And so you're due some of that. You're due some of it. We got a guy in our church, and it's one of those fellows. Of course, a lot of folks do it these days. They have the cart before the horse. And so he started his family backwards. And he got saved and got coming to church, and his girlfriend decided that was the one she wanted. And so, I mean, one day we had her coming a little bit. She came a couple times. In fact, she went down with us to the street one night to the Super Bowl back in, what was that, 2017 or whatever. They had the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, and we went down there and passed out tracts. She actually went with us. So I was sitting there thinking, this girl's going to get in. And within 3 weeks of that, she bailed. And all he can do is see the kid. She's not interested in talking. Well, you're warned about that. I mean, I'm sorry what the fundamentalists say. But Mark chapter 10 says that it's going to cost you your wife sometimes. It's going to cost you your mother and your father sometimes. Okay? So what are you saying? You have to decide whether the mess that the ox made is good or not. And it'll depend on whether it came from a good ox or not. Folks, those martyrs died for Jesus Christ. My personal favorite is the guy that's being fried alive, naked. And the priests come in trying to get him to recant. And he said, I'm done on this side. Turn me over. Girl that's been stretched on a rack 4 days. Priest comes in with his wooden cross. Demands that she recant. She said, it's not for Christians to worship wood. Now, I tell you what. You receive Jesus Christ to fix a mess. And he does. For what it's worth, that's what my thesis was about. But it's also true that in a way he makes another mess. Because you wind up with some mighty uncomfortable Thanksgivings sometimes. And family gatherings just are not what they used to be. And Halloween doesn't mean to you what it used to mean to you. There's just a lot of things that you know, Friday nights are an entirely different animal. And so you get made fun of and all that kind of stuff. And you have to make up your mind. What kind? What kind of manure you want? By the way, y'all are in my manure reservoir tonight. You could say, go throw it over there. No, there's a sniper sitting over there. I ain't interested. No, I ain't throwing nothing on him. But, you know, I might as well just say it. You're going to inherit some of the manure from other people anyway. Because your mom and your dad both brought their own problems to their marriage before they had you. And so whether you like it or not, you say, well, you know, I go to that church and, you know, everybody's always dumping their troubles on me and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you're going to have to shovel somebody else's manure sometimes. It's the way life is. Is the ox worth it? Do you have a good ox? Is his name Jesus Christ? The Bible. Oh, you people are recognized. Why? I quit diving under the couch a long time ago. That's what they want you to do. They want you to duck. They want you to flinch. You're a Reckmanite. Why ain't flinching? I don't care what you think. I quit caring what people like you thought a long time ago. You say, well, he said some things. Well, yeah. You said some things. They just haven't listened to you. They listened to him all the way back to 1950. There is no way in this world Dr. Ruckman could have realized in the early 50s that people would be listening to his voice the world over on all these different kind of media all the way up to what is now 2019. Say, he should have watched himself. Well, maybe he should have. But you don't. You say, what's the point? Well, the point is, we called a Ruckmanite. Who cares? I have a Bible. And they're going to make fun of me and mock me for having the Bible no matter what I am. So I just carry it, and it's heavy. And then once in a while, it gets to be kind of a pain, but doesn't bother me. Bible says wisdom, to grow in grace and wisdom and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that the Bible says, for instance, that for wisdom, all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto it. So, well, that's pretty good, yeah. Except for in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I'm going to get hot with this shoveling. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The simple decision that you're going to live godly when you hit this down here guarantees that something's going to come back and get you. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be talking about the local church. That's right. And that's a theme this week. All right. Graduated PBI in May of 87. My wife and I were in Minneapolis within 4 or 5 days of that. So we've been there since June of 87. And Doc had given me his blessing. Brother McGahee at the time was the associate pastor. And I went to preach and she went to help me to write my sermons. And we went and started. We had a small group to kind of start with. One of the fellows there was a moneyed sort of guy whose wife was an old bat. But bottom line is, over a period of about 2 years, we'd gathered together, amazingly enough, about 70 people. And we're meeting, and I should have seen, of course I was young, I was 26 years old, and I should have seen some of the cracks and some of the fissures starting to, you know, but I was dumb. And so in 89, 2 years later, we had a big church split. We split down from about 75 people down to about 10. And so what was it? Well, I'm a doctor now. I wish I could go, because I deserve to have an honorable church split over an honorable doctrine, like the deity of Christ or soteriological dispensationalism. But we had a church split over something else. Do you know what it was? No, you couldn't. I have to tell you. It was about enemas. Now, I know it's kind of ironic that I'm talking about manure here, and that this enema split. I'm glad that I didn't get a doctor of proctology while I was at it. Some of our folks, including the old bat, found out there was a family in the church that was very health conscious and ate real careful, and, you know, kind of I think it was kind of the roll-off thing of the day, but they decided that it was New Age and Taoism and all those things. And I mean, we had us a year-long row. Yeah. Over enemas. And finally, the thing split. I was just ashamed. I felt like I couldn't show my face. How am I going to call Dr. Ruckman and say, we had a split over an enema? So what is that? Well, the old bat was a bad ox. But the church that I was called to start and that I still pastor was a good ox. And so they shot their mouths off and said all kinds of nasty things and wrote letters across the country and up down to Pensacola and all kinds of stuff. And you know what I did? I hate this manure. Did you hear him? He said, me too. Here's Brother Scruggs. Y'all heard him a couple days ago. A sermon on her. Brother Scruggs is now pastoring a church, of relatively small church, where he has to walk tenderly because of the belovedness of his former pastor, and because he has a church cemetery. And you got to watch where you put flowers in a country church cemetery. You know what that is? You need a good ox, because there's going to be manure. It'll be either the manure of a good ox or a bad one. Here is Brother Wheeler. Has 8 people, and he has to walk tenderly. You know what that is? That's a guy that's shoveling the manure of a good ox, because that local church is a good ox. But it has problems. There's a cost for having it. There's probably a cost for having yours here too. Here's Brother Yoakum. Stuck in the mud the other day. Going to another culture that is way different than most of us in here. And he's going to have to shovel it from a wheelchair, because it's a good ox. It's a good ox. I've been in ministry now for 32 years. I want to assure you something. More than one of those days, sometimes for weeks on end, I didn't want to get out of bed because of what I was going to have to go down to the office and face across a desk with somebody. There were times that I would have happily cut off my left arm if I could have gotten out of having to go say to somebody what I had to say and to confront somebody and some things that I had to confront. And there were times that the problems just never seemed to go away. They just kept on and on and on for season after season after season, year after year after year, without really being resolved. And what did I do? Day after day after day. Say, what's the point? You need a good ox. I could quit, but then what ox would I be cleaning up after then? When we split in 89, we stuck it out. And I have to admit, at that point, I was not as discouraged as maybe at times I was later. But when I contemplated quitting, I didn't know what problems I was going to inherit by changing oxes. Now listen, folks. Y'all are going to start a building program pretty soon, if I understand the plans right. Do you know the things that happen during building programs sometimes? You better have square in your head that you're going to have to shovel some manure. And that this ox, this week should have proven that this ox is worth having.
Amen.
Man, I read about Paul. Paul gets down, he's the apostle to the Gentiles, gets down to, you know, Romans 7 and says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And what got him to that ground was when that which I would do, or I'm going to butcher this, that which I would do, I do not, and that which I would do, that do I not. Something to that effect, right? And he was, when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," that's a cry coming from a man that's so frustrated, he's frustrated beyond his mind for having tried and tried and tried and tried, and he can't defeat it. I don't think it was adultery. I don't think it was drugs, but it was something. I rather imagine it was something an awful lot like me and you have. I just finished a thesis, and when Brother Peacock was excited about the theme, I had to go and rummage around and try to get my brain together on the matter. And I'll be honest with you. I wasn't at all sure that I had the wattage to do justice to the subject. And there was a lot of hours that I just sat at a desk with my face in my hands trying to figure out how in the name of heaven I'm going to do this. And you know, the thing is, I'd get some light and write some stuff, and by the time I'm, call it 3/4 of the way through it, there's some stuff that's really flowing, you know, and I got some light. The Lord, give me some help. And you know, it's victorious stuff. It'll help somebody. And I'd be satisfied with the day's writing. And I go in the bedroom and go to bed, and that might be a couple of days before I can get back to it because I did have other things to do. And by the time I get back to it, 48 hours later, instead of walking in and plopping down and going back to work, I got to walk in and get on the floor and crawl up to the mercy seat where the blood's flowing because I have messed up in some of the same things that I'm teaching for a doctoral thesis in a book because of my stinking flesh. I was looking at, thinking about Paul and what might have wrung those words from him. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" It's just standing in state. It's just a man knowing he's perfect. but that flesh is still hanging on.
Amen.
You say, what's the point? Well, you better stick with it. You've been delivered the good ox of good doctrine. But it'll cost you. It'll break your heart at times. It should. Knowing how badly you failed. It did for me a couple times. So what's the point? You need a good ox. If you forsake this ox, what ox will you be cleaning up after? Because you're going to clean up after an ox. You will. And you better make sure that that ox is worth having. You've heard some good stuff here this week. I hope you'll hang in there. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for the help today. I hope that this might have been clear this evening. I hope that a little bit might have rubbed off on us. Father, may we be reminded of the treasure that we have. We love you. We need you. I pray that you'd make these things real to us. In Jesus' name, amen.